A new exhibit at the New Orleans Museum of Art comes from the personal collection of Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. And he bought only the best. 39 paintings are on display from some of the most famous artists in the world, starting in the 1600s. Exhibit curator Vanessa Schmid pointed to some of the highlights with WWNO's Eileen Fleming.
My name is Vanessa Schmid, and I am the in-house curator for the show.
So we are here on the first floor of the museum, and there is a selection of paintings. Tell me about the grouping and why they were selected to be in the first room.
Generally, the exhibition is chronological. However, there are ways in which I step away from that and when it makes sense and have thematic area. For example, I have one area devoted to views of Venice.
Now, some of these artists are extraordinarily well known. Give us a list of the top 10 here, or the Hall of Fame in the world of art.
Well, of course, the most recognizable, perhaps, is Monet, Claude Monet. We have 5 paintings by Monet, and then also complemented by other Impressionists and Neo and Post-Impressionists, Paul Cézanne, Paul Signac, Henri Cross, a lesser known but fascinating Impressionist, and of course, some of the other greatest hits are an outstanding landscape by Gustav Klimt. And then moving forward in time, there is a spectacular David Hockney. Some great American painters are represented, such as Thomas Moran, Edward Hopper. And I also, some of my personal favorites include Canaletto and Turner.
And what is it about landscapes did Paul Allen see as so important for his collection?
One of the things he said in an interview is how he talks about how travel really was important to him as a child and going to museums while traveling. And I think moving outward from that, something that really comes out in the show for me is, for all of us, how traveling to new places fixes memory in space and time. And I think that's a fascinating element of what landscape can do that's very vivid.
Okay, let's take a close look at a few. And here we move on to the well-known Canals of Venice.
Yes, so I have arranged in this section a series of 6 paintings that are views of Venice, and they range from the 1740s to the 1870s, so it's pretty much about a century of artists looking at Venice. And with Canaletto, we have his wonderful, detailed, nostalgic views. He was known for his meticulous detail of the palaces and their architecture. An artist who was looking at Canaletto and created his complete individual and astounding own vision of Venice is William Turner. Turner earned his fame as a watercolorist, which I think certainly informs his late style. His late style is really defined by kind of dreamy views, blurred vision. Yet, one will notice that his architecture is actually quite precise, and that I think is partly related to his great interest in Canaletto. Canaletto did inspire him, although they were a century apart, to visit Venice.
Okay. I doubt there's anyone that would mistake that one.
Yes, it is an example, as well, one exemplar of the Water Lily series by Claude Monet. It became really his signature subject, but also was his way to explore his interests in the changing of light over the course of a day.
And now, Vanessa, around the corner, I see what looks like a neon Grand Canyon. And we must run right to that.
Oh, really? But the other thing that happens when you turn around, what we've done is a walk past of what we call a floating wall in the galleries. And so we have 2 sight lines. One is right to that David Hockney, which is this garish, bright view of the Grand Canyon. But then when you turn around to where we were, in the opposite wall where the water lilies is a forest landscape by Gustav Klimt. He was, of course, known for his society portraits, and I think his technique in those paintings actually informs the painting we're looking at. But what we're looking at, to be precise, is a birch forest. It's surrounding a lake called the Attersee, which is between Vienna and Salzburg. And what's so compelling about this painting is the way that he paints the forest floor. The leaves have fallen. They're yellow, orange, red. And some of the yellows just glow and glisten. It's painted actually quite meticulously, very deliberate strokes.
Just a quick question, Standard Oil. How did this end up in the final room of a landscape show?
Well, I certainly won't get into certain logistics that are about where things look better in a gallery. But so the Standard Oil, what you're talking about, is this really fascinating painting just done in shades of black, gray, and white. Looks almost like it's a spray painted. And it is a Standard Oil gas station. Ed Ruscha is well known for these. Some of them are in color. Some of them, they're on different scales. It's the Standard Oil, it's just so, such an elemental experience of the American kind of suburban life, right? The gas station. And one he shows here is clearly one from the 50s. I like that it ends the show because, like Canaletto in Venice that opens the show, we have ways in which buildings in landscape and our experience of landscape can have such a nostalgic effect. It is certainly about a quintessentially American landscape.
Vanessa Schmidt, New Orleans Museum of Art Curator of Seeing Nature, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Eileen.
Seeing Nature Landscape Masterworks will be at the New Orleans Museum of Art through January 15th. The exhibit will then close at the Seattle Art Museum early next year.